Hi. This talk starts out with a small technical problem. I can't see anything on the screen. So I'm going to be talking like this and try to look at you at the same time, which is going to be hard. I hope you're all in the right talk. This is about AVG. AVG is a system that... Well, I say it's supposed to replace Director at some point. So what it does is, it's a system for multimedia installations. It's a framework to do media presentations. The idea is to have high quality visuals, which is not what you're seeing right now. sorry about that. And everything is LGPL. I've been working on this system for the last 2 years or so. It all started out when we were trying to build an installation, and we were doing it with Macromedia Director, and in a very Linux-friendly environment at the Seabase. Some of you might know the place. And at some point, when this thing had a blue screen again, somebody came up, hey, I gotta photograph that. I wanna have this blue screen in this. And so that was the end of using Windows for installations for me. And I went on and started to look at what actually do people need when they build interactive installations. First of all, one of the main things is quick authoring. What you want is to very quickly build something, have a look at how it's going to be for the people who use the installation at some point later on, and change things, try it again, over and over again. And if the system isn't built to change things quickly, it just takes too long. Next thing, high quality visuals. You need flexible effects. You want to be able to script your effects yourselves. You don't want pre-canned, things that everybody has already seen, because it's not going to draw any attention. You want all of the media you can get, videos, cameras, pictures, text, whatever, seamlessly integrated. You want them all to feel the same to the author. You want good video playback, which is doable with today's computers, and it's a shame in many cases what things like Macromedia Director make of that. Then you want good font rendering and layout support. You want texts to be easily readable. You want sounds. You want CD quality audio, which really is not a problem of the software, it's a problem of the hardware. I'm not going to say anything else to that. You want low latency. You want immediate reactions. If somebody presses a key, if somebody moves the mouse, you need something in the, let's say, lower than 30, 20 milliseconds, definitely, as reaction time. You want to mix several sounds. You want to, you'd like to have multi-channel playback on on lots of speakers at once, so you can move sounds about the place. So what hardware would you use? What operating systems? There's two good ones for that. The first choice is Linux, of course, low price, embedded support is something that's good for that. Embedded in the sense of having a system that you don't have access to the keyboard or the mouse. You need to maintain the system by remote access. And you want something that you can just do an SSH and shell over to the system and change things without having to open doors and stuff like that. Windows is bad for that. You want something, in many cases, you want systems that you can clone, which is also something Windows will not do. You want, often, artists are people who don't necessarily have money left over for 10 computers or something like that, for good computers. What they'll do is take old systems and just get them to work. So you need to support that kind of hardware. And the second operating system you'd like this system to work on is macOS X, because of all the authoring tools that you have available on that platform. Okay, and one of the other important things you need for the system is openness for expansion, which is just because artists, designers don't like to be fenced in. They want to have their own, they have their own way of thinking, and they won't let you decide what effects they will use. They want to build them themselves. Open source will help with that, I hope. Okay, so from that, I sort of thought of a concept. What would be a possibility of building something like this? And the idea is that you separate the static content, which is the screen layout, the visuals themselves, from the dynamics, from what happens on the screen, what changes, how the system reacts to user events. So you can take a screen layout language, XML-based. I took, in this case, SVG, which is a vector format, threw away lots of stuff, built in support for things like videos and stuff like that. And that's where the name of the project comes from. It's Ain't Vector Graphics, not Scalable Vector Graphics. The dynamics of everything come from JavaScript. That means you can use JavaScript to move around videos, to move around images, to do everything that's supposed to change on the screen. As an example, I've got a snippet of an AVG file and a JavaScript snippet. I can't really read it. Is that, can you read it? Yeah, okay, cool. The example just puts an image on the screen, and there's a reaction to a mouse over event in the whatever fourth line. The function that reacts just looks for the element and sets the opacity to zero, makes it disappear. So as soon as you move the mouse over that image, it just disappears. Just as an example of how easy it is, how few lines of code it takes to have the system react. I'll have a short look at what base technologies are available. This is mostly Linux. All of the technologies are also available under macOS X. I've seen the work. I'm not sure about the speed they actually give. Screen output, there's two basic systems? No. Well, okay, there's one system that won't work on macOS, and that's DirectFP. OpenGL will work. Both of them support, both of the systems support hardware-based rendering. OpenGL is actually a 3D engine. I use it as 2D renderer, which is one of the main good points, is that it is a very stable API. Things don't change much, and it's supported on a lot of hardware. The alternative, DirectFB, works very good for low-end systems. What I did is basically use it for software rendering, which is sort of not using DirectFB as well as it could be used. But that's the way it is right now. Image support, there's a library that loads 15 different image formats called Paintlib, which I use. There'd be alternatives to that. This is just basically the reason I use that library at the moment is that it's that I wrote the library, so I know what it does. there's not much more. Then there's video support. There's some of you might know FFmpeg. The codec library that it uses is libav codec. It's nearly undocumented, but it works very well. Decodes all sorts of video formats for you, gives you the frames, and allows you to play with them. libdc1394 is a library for digital cameras, for industrial cameras. I would have loved to have an example here. My camera broke a few days ago, so that's out of the question. What's this? Oh yeah, text output, right. A few years ago, when you said text output to any designer, when you said the three words, text output and Linux to any designer, they would just go, nah, uh-uh. Doesn't work. And it didn't, and that's changed a lot. There's a very good font engine, libfreetype. You need to make sure to compile it with things that violate patents, but since there's no software patents in Germany, who cares? Then you have very high quality glyph rendering. Then you have layout support through Pango, which is what GNOME uses for the for all its text layout, for all the help and things like that. I have an example later on which demonstrates what Pango actually can do. And there's more. Yeah, there's a backend, of course. There's something that parses XML, libxml2. There's SpiderMonkey, which is what Mozilla uses to interpret JavaScript. Both of those libraries are stable, usable, no problems at all with them. And I basically took all this, made sure I didn't invent anything new, pulled it all together, and came up with a few features that this thing can do. Everything is rendered with a display mixer. That means everything is handled in the same way. The display mixer does not care if it's an image or a video or a camera image or text it's handling. You can do all the same stuff. And the stuff you can do is you can scale, you can crop, you can... it honors alpha channels and images. You can change the opacity. That means you can fade out, you can do cross fades, all sorts of stuff. With the OpenGL backend, you can, since all the rendering is done on hardware, You can rotate everything. You've got sub-pixel precision in bitmap in the rendering, which means, well, usually you wouldn't care if a bitmap is positioned at 10 or 10.5. It only matters when you move the bitmap at a speed of, let's say, 3 pixels a second. And in that case, it makes the difference between 3 frames a second and 30 frames a second. And so subpixel rendering becomes important when you want smooth animation. Then there's additional blend modes. I've got an example later on that shows additive blend modes just for additional effects. You can warp images. What I did was basically you can put control points on images. You can put a grid and you can move every single point on that grid around live. So that obviously opens up a lot of possibilities. Everything is live, everything is real time, all of it is accessible via JavaScript. What do we have? Yeah, the DirectX backend, as I said, does software rendering. Works very well on low-end hardware. And I actually have to apologize to the DirectFE guys. I don't know if any one of those guys is here right now. I'm still doing software rendering, and they've been telling me to change it. I haven't gotten around to it. It's just a question of having enough time to develop stuff. Okay, video support. Obviously, if things are all the same to the display mixer, you can play several videos at once. What's this? Yeah, all the play, pause, stop the video things and stuff like that is exposed in JavaScript. And is as simple as saying node.play. And then there's, there's one thing I decided on very early on. The frame rate of the videos is all the same. Everything goes at one frame rate, which means you're responsible for making the videos play at a sane speed. If necessary, sorry, you have to recode them themselves. But my idea was that you are doing, if you're doing an installation, you've got at least some time to make the media for the installation and not the other way around. Because it goes to the quality anyway. If you have a video you want to play at 25 frames per second, and it's coded for 30 frames per second, that is any real-time engine that tries to play it at the right speed while only having 25 frames per second won't work. So I just play the 25 frames, and then there's 5 frames left over, and they drop into the next second. So the video gets slower, but every frame gets played. Code the videos to the speed that the AVG renderer is playing at, or adjust the speed of the AVG renderer, and it'll work. Obviously, you can't play 2 videos at once with one 25 frames per second and one 30. That just both will play at one frame rate. Completely integrated. Everything moves. Everything rotates. And I've got a speed example on how it looks. That's this computer doing the rendering. That's a P4 mobile, 1.6 gigahertz. And it will play 1, 2, 3. four, five videos. They're all blended. This is additive blending. This is not the standard OpenGL blending. You can see that when the videos overlap, they're always brighter than when they don't overlap. That's the additive blending. I can hear the hard disk. I can hear the hard disk going here. So it's the computer is doing a lot. There's not much. You can't go farther with a Pentium 4 and this kind of hard disk, but yeah, that obviously could be done interactively as well. Okay, go back to this. Okay, yeah, right. What I haven't said, all of this that I'm showing right now is done in AVG2. So that's why I could just do this nice little blend over from the presentation to the videos and back. I took Pango and integrated that, which means you have something that looks like HTML div tags that you can use to specify how the text should look. You can do that, put these tags in the middle of a paragraph to change how the text should look. Obviously it does bold, italic, you can color the text. It'll justify the paragraphs left, right, centered. I can't see. Yeah, UTF-8 support, which means you've got just about any character that that mankind has dreamt of is available as an UTF-8 character. You can show Chinese. You can have right to left rendering. Although I haven't tried that, it should work. If anybody is going to do anything for Arabian countries. I get tired of saying it all the time. All this is fully integrated. You can rotate text. You can blend it in, blend it out, whatever. And that's what it looks like. I hope I got numbers there and not some weird things that I didn't know what I wrote. I think they're numbers. Does anybody speak Chinese here? Oh, sorry. They are numbers? Okay. As you can see, it's rotated. It's I changed the baseline there for the second quick of the brown fox, so the text is higher. I changed the font in the middle of the line. It's cropped at the right points. And there's camera support. As I said, I would have liked to have an example of that too. The camera's broken. I have this, obviously it had to break because I have this it's a nice little board camera that's about this big, costs 90 euros, does VGA, but since it's a board camera, all you have, it had to break it because you see the platina, I don't know, you see the board itself. But these FireWire cameras, you can adjust brightness, contrast, saturation, exposure. You can adjust the gamma for most cameras, and the cameras are, there's a protocol for that, so it's not specific to the model of the camera. again, I've taken the protocol, taking what libdc1394 gives me, and basically moved that out to JavaScript, so you can just change those parameters using JavaScript too. Okay. Dum-dum. Yeah, and we did some... Hey, no, there's more. There's input support. Obviously, there's mouse support. If there's mouse support under X, there's touch screen support. It boils down to having... it looks a lot like HTML on mouse over on mouse out handlers. We saw one at the beginning. It's just you put on mouse over, on mouse out, on mouse down, up. What else is there? Move into the script. At the tag you want to react. And then a JavaScript function gets called at that point. Which makes it very easy to have active screen regions. Mouse events bubble. Okay, how do I explain that? AVG is a hierarchical format. You have regions on the screen that can contain subregions, contain more subregions, and at the end you have the actual media elements. And any of the elements from the bottommost to the element that represents the whole screen can react to mouse events, and they only react to those events that happen over the element itself. For instance, in this presentation, there's a subregion that just covers the main text area, the main gray area in the middle. And that area works for cropping and works for mouse events. I don't have mouse events right now, obviously. I don't need them. There's obviously keyboard support. You see me pressing the page up and page down keys all the time. Again, just an easy event handler in JavaScript, and a switch case JavaScript handler that reacts to whatever key is pressed and does things. There's parallel port control lines. There's four or five lines that are output lines, are input lines in addition to the eight normal output lines of a standard parallel port. And you can use those for input. If you're an electronics gadget person who builds electronics themselves, that's an easy way to get input that doesn't look like normal computer input into AVG. You could use that for, how do you call it, Lichtschranken? Lights, whatever. Bewegungsmelder, other touch sensors, stuff like that. Then there is, right, there was one hack we did when we needed a good AD converter in a very small computer. And it just isn't there. Usually you would say there is no good AD converter in the computer except in the sound card. So if you need precise analog input, that's the only way to do it. We use the sound out to give a sine wave and modulated the signal on the sine wave, basically. Demodulated it on input. This is not something I put into the main AVG library. If somebody wants the code, they can have it, but it's too much of a hack to have it in the main code. Okay. Or yeah, all the authoring stuff. You've got all of JavaScript, which means math stuff. I've said most of this already. You've got timers, right? You can set timeouts and intervals, which people who've done HTML JavaScript coding know these things already. So you can say, okay, after two seconds after somebody presses this, I want something to happen. Or every 30 milliseconds, I want to have this function called, things like that. There's generic system call support, so you can just call out, you give the system a standard input, a standard output, and you basically, that's your way of getting out to whatever else is happening in the system, in the operating system that you're based on. We've done that, for instance, to get a directory listing, and use that for displaying the videos that are in that directory. As in any good Unix program, there's a way to print to the console, just for debugging support. And is that it? Yeah, there's all sorts of other small stuff. There's support for some cards that Conrad Electronics sells that plug into a serial port and have relays on them, and so you can switch 220 volts on and off and have fun with that. There's plugin support. All of libAVG is based on plugins. Everything is loaded dynamically, meaning you can always write small self-contained C++ modules in addition to the JavaScript stuff that just handle specific stuff. For instance, the relay card things, all of the code that is necessary to use those. That's a separate plugin. There's profiling support, meaning that you can basically it's one JavaScript call that you just call and you say, and it starts profiling how much time is spent in what part of the engine. So you can see, okay, are my videos taking long? Is my JavaScript taking long? Stuff like that. The frame timing is as precise as you can get if you are root. If you are not root, it is precise enough in most cases. I ripped the code out of MPlayer. MPlayer is code. I don't know how many of you were in the I almost said obfuscated code contest yesterday. No, it was the Literarisches Quartett. That MPlayer code is would have been, that code is unreadable, but it does whatever it does very well. Okay. And there's something that was needed for one of the things I did with AVG, which is panorama images, 360 degrees. Rotate the image, rotate in an image, and it just looks like you're turning your head around. So the support for that. When I was doing that, it also something came up that I would not have thought would be a problem. Really wide images or high images Getting those into OpenGL is usually not supported. Textures are, if you have a good video card, have a maximum of 2,000 by 2,000 pixels. So there's code in there that splits the image into several textures, loads it all up in several pieces, and reassembles it on the display. You don't notice it, but you can show images that are much larger than that. Okay, then there are samples. Last year I did a few small projects with AVG when it was just starting. That was just mainly some screens that did stuff, didn't react much to input. This year, in the spring and the summer, there was a project at the place I work called TimeScope, which is basically like one of the things all the tourists look through. You can see it there. It's taken apart a bit. So you look into binoculars and you can turn it and, usually you see what's behind it just magnified. In this case, though, you see what's behind it, or what was behind it. That's what the panorama image support was for. I can't show it here, but as you turned the binoculars, you would show a different part of the image. And there's two knobs on the top of the binoculars that just switch between the times. When you're at today, 2004, it shows a camera image. And it blends between the camera image and the panorama image. Okay, and then there's a second thing I did, which was a bit larger, which is the something we built for a club in... anybody here from the Seabase? Yeah? Okay. We built it for the Seabase. It's a scanner that reacts to your touch and, it finds out all sorts of things about you and notices what kind of hands you have. And if you take your hand off too quickly or if it recognizes you're not supposed to go in, gives you an error message and does all sorts of weird things. So it's basically two screens. One of them is a touch screen. We had a lot of fun with that. If anybody's still here, tomorrow evening, there's after show party of the Congress is at the Seabase, and this thing is at the entrance of that thing. Okay, what's in store for the future? I still have too much time, so I'll talk a lot about the future. I don't know, or I'll have you guys ask questions is what I'll do. So, what is missing? Obviously, I can't say you can use this instead of directory in all cases yet, because we'll see. One thing that's missing is documentation. The documentation that's there is 3/4 of a year old. I've got, lots of stuff has changed since then. The way to use it right now is basically browse through the C++ code, see what calls are supported, which is not what I want it to be. So I am going to be, I promise to work on that. Better Macintosh support. I had it working on Macintosh. Right now, it crashes as soon as it starts rendering fonts. Again, that's not what I want it to be because, I like Macintosh. That is something I'm going to do too. You notice I said sound was essential. There is no sound support yet. There's a great sound library I have been given permission to use. Again, that's from my employer, which I really have to thank at this moment, because it's saying, well, I wrote a sound library at the employer is Art and Com. I wrote the sound library in company time, and they've basically said, if you can make that into an open source project, go ahead. We get the support for free. And yeah. So that's also, Art and Com is also a place that I built TimeScope for. So, okay, somebody's telling me 15 minutes left. I'm almost done anyway. Yeah, one thing that's also missing, you can't add or delete scene elements dynamically. And as soon as things get complex, you want to be able to do that. That's something that should take me 1, 2, 3 days of work, which I haven't found the time for. Layer compositing operators. There's modern graphics cards have a lot of support for per pixel programs. The generation from like GeForce FX onwards can do these things, and these programs are powerful enough to emulate most effects you can get, for instance, with GIMP or Photoshop, most layer effects. So you could have gamma effects or things like hartes Licht, weiches Licht. I don't know the English words for that. You could just do those things in real time. You would need to write shader programs for the graphics card, which isn't impossible. The formulas are well known. It should be possible to do that. And it's something I have not seen done. There is, generic shader support. If you do that, you can just as well do the shader support, so you can reference a shader in an AVG file and say, this is the CG program, or this is the high-level shading language program I want to have applied when that image gets put on the screen. Okay, better memory management. Right now, I assume all images fit into the main memory. That gets you pretty far. Today's computers, if you have half a gigabyte or a gigabyte of memory, images, even in large projects, usually fit. But there are times when they don't, and then you want to be paging them from the hard disk, and that's what that is about. Networking, you should be able to control these things from remote. You should be able to send things over TCP/IP. Stylesheet support. If you've got 20 font nodes, 20 text nodes, and they all got the same font, and you've got font equals whatever, Lucida console, in every one of them, you want to be able to set that using a style sheet. More media types. Take an SVG renderer, one of the freely available ones, put that in. Put QuickTime support in, which is basically probably a Macintosh-only thing. Put Video for Linux support in there. Lots of stuff. And one of the reasons I'm talking here is that it would be great to have help. I've been doing this by myself most of the time, and my time is finite. There is a limit to it, and I only have so many ideas. So Yeah, there's a wish list. More participation, more people using this thing. If anybody does something with it that, that they'd like to show me, I'd love to see it. There's a website, obviously, www.libavg.de. There's a mailing list at SourceForge. And then since it's a wish list, I thought I'd say I don't want any more software patent issues. There's two packages in there that have problems with that. That's libAV codec. And libfreetype, and the people who are fighting against software patents are really doing something for us all, because if I had not ignored this stuff, you wouldn't have been able to see the fonts the way they were, and you wouldn't have been able to see the videos, because both of those libraries have patent problems. Not in Germany, yet. And if anybody has questions, I don't know if there's time to ask questions now here, if the next presenter wants to come up. If anybody wants to ask questions now, there's time for that. And if people want to ask questions later or maybe have support installing it, I don't know, just talk with me. I'm in the art and beauty area where the C-Base people are. That's not a good description. there's two places where C-Base people are. Near the, about as near to the entrance to the whole Congress that you can get in the art and beauty area is where I'm usually sitting. Okay. Anything else? No. Okay, any questions?
Because you were mentioning designers don't like to have their special way of thinking and don't like to be restricted. From my experience, designers also don't really like to use XML, just pure XML or write JavaScript.
Yeah.
Do you have any authoring tools for this? And if not, can you maybe show the source of this presentation so you can get kind of a feel for what AVG is like?
I can show a source. I'll try in a second. There's your sort of right about it. It would be good to have authoring tools, and it obviously one of the reasons that there isn't one is that it's just an insane amount of work to get an authoring tool to work. Another reason is that I think if somebody wants to build an authoring tool on top of this, it's no problem. And the third reason is that I do know designers, a lot of people from the UDK here in Berlin or that work at Artcom, who are mostly designers, who do a lot of programming. There's people who learn computational design, and these people, they come up to us at Artcom and they say, wait, just a second, I don't want JavaScript. JavaScript is wimpy, which is the other side of designers. There are people who have a feel for visuals and for presenting things and stuff who can code. So there's... I think there's still a market even without without an authoring tool. Maybe I can just show you the code afterward. because it's going to be small type and hard to read on that thing, I think. Okay. Any other questions?
Can you please go to this microphone?
What?
This microphone, please.
Well, I'll try without the microphone. And is everything pixel-based? I'm thinking about the management and placement of sprites or objects in the scene. The reason I'm asking is that I just recently bought a laptop with a 200 pixel per inch display, and mostly all the ones of the sucks because it doesn't support high-res displays.
Okay, I'm not very sure. How big is okay? The question. I'll try to repeat the question first, so it's on the microphone and on the tape. So you're saying, you're asking if everything is pixel-based. To that, the answer is yes. And how high resolution was your display, 2,000 pixels?
No, it's
205 pixels range. Per inch. Okay, so that's a huge amount of pixels on the display. Is that what you're saying? Okay, that would probably cause. Yeah, if the graphics card can display that many pixels, everything is okay. You would probably put a pretty big strain on the graphics card trying to. Yeah, the pixel pipelines would have problems with that. I'm sure about it. Okay, everything. Okay. You can scale fonts. Yes, definitely. Yeah. You can scale graphics as large as you want. In your case, it probably makes sense to display stuff bigger. You're right. Okay, you can scale graphics. That depends on. Okay, the question is why do you give dimensions in pixels? That depends on this on what you're trying to achieve. If you are trying to build something for a desktop, you are right. I want something to be placed in the middle of the desktop, then I want that to be placed in the middle of the desktop and not at pixel 512, which may or may not be the middle of the desktop. On the other end, I'm building a presentation, and I want high quality visuals, and I want to know how every pixel looks, and I also know the resolution of my destination screen, so I will build the pictures so they fit, and everything will be perfect. So this is not for everyone, but it's for the needs of this package. Any other questions? Okay, then I'll conclude this. Say thank you for coming. Say thank you for the help I got from the CBase, from the CCC guys, from my employers, Art and Com. Thanks for coming. And we'll see you whenever.